And welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A ESP. Again, that's Nick A ESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin. And we've got a great hour for you coming up. We're obviously going to catch up on that cybersecurity and privacy news. We're going to be talking about our major breaches of the week, of which there have been a ton, thanks to the ever-evolving SolarWinds situation. But our deep dive today is going to be very, very interesting. I am sitting down with a QAnon follower, or I should say a former QAnon follower, somebody that was essentially drinking that Kool-Aid. You might have seen him on CNN and other major news outlets talking about this, but I sat down and basically gave him a whole bunch of uninterrupted time in our discussion, so he doesn't have a three-minute segment on some show. He's got my deep dive. It is a fascinating conversation. You're going to want to stick around for that. And as always, let's start with the news. And in reincarnation news, and yes, you heard me, reincarnation news, although not really reincarnation in the way you think about it, you could be reincarnated as a chatbot. Now, here's what's going on with this. Microsoft has filed a patent which raises the intriguing possibility of digitally reincarnating people as a chatbot. Now, instead of using the conventional method of training chatbots using conversations and materials for a wide sample of users, their system would use quote-unquote social data such as, and I quote, images, voice data, social media posts, electronic messages, and written letters to build a profile of you. To quote the patent, the social data may be used to create or modify a special index in the theme of a specific person's personality. The special index may be used to train a chatbot to converse and interact in the personality of a specific person. Now, the chatbot would even sound like a real person because, according to the patent, and I quote again, in some aspects, a voice font of the specific person may be generated using recordings and sound data related to the specific person. A 2D/3D model of the specific person may be generated using images, depth information, and or video data associated with that person. Now, Microsoft's patent isn't particularly fussy about who might chosen to be a subject of one of these new chatbots, stating that the subject could be dead or alive. Quote, a specific person who the chatbot represents may correspond to a past or present entity or a version thereof, such as a friend, a relative, an acquaintance, a celebrity, a fictional character, a historical figure, a random entity, etc. And to continue, the specific person may also correspond to oneself, example, the user creating or training the chatbot. So that obviously basically means you could train your own, which I find really interesting. Now, according to this, Microsoft is calling this venture creating a conversational chatbot of a specific person. And so it doesn't refer to resurrecting the dead, but imagine if you could train this thing to act and sound like you. In a business meeting, you could send that if it's smart enough or sharp enough or improves enough to actually have the meeting for you when people think they're talking to you. Or, basically, if you're going to die, and we all are at some point, you could train this up to interact with like your kids or your grandkids or whatever it is. It's very intriguing and fascinating. And so that is your reincarnation news of the week. And I wanted to also drop a quick note here. I received a message from one of my listeners on the radio saying, hey, can I find your old radio shows? Can I find more content from you? And I just realized I really don't tell you guys exactly what I'm doing here. I actually do daily podcasts and videos. It's basically a video recording that gets converted. And I put that out onto all of the major social media platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. But if you want to catch up on all of my past shows, or you want to see my Sunday breaches of the week or my daily videos or audio on just news of the day, which is usually cybersecurity and privacy, you can find me at SoundCloud at /Nick AESP. That's Nick AESP, soundcloud.com. Or if you want to see the videos, you can go to youtube.com/Nick Espinoza, just basically my name, youtube.com/Nick Espinoza. And I have various interviews and videos that I do every day. And so I hope this satisfies this. I will probably put this message out, every other show or so, because I think people want to know this. But if you're interested in following me or finding me or anything like that for my regular daily content, that's where you'd find it. And so plug over. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for Breaches of the Week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions at securityfanatics.com. And I'm more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout out on the air. With that, let's begin. And the last couple of weeks in breaches is no different than all the other weeks in breaches that we've had. There are just so many breaches out there. And so these are the highlights from the last couple of weeks, because I would have no time for anything else if I just went through all of the breaches. But with that, I'd like to thank the following people that sent me this information. As always, it is always appreciated. And that is David Walker, Jason Dance, Michael Phillipson, Barrett Peterson, Chris Fellon, and Jacqueline Wolf. Thank you so unbelievably much. Without time to lose, let's dive right in and start with Bonobo's clothing store. Now, this is a men's clothing store, and they suffered a massive data breach exposing millions of customers' personal information after a cloud backup of their database was downloaded by a threat actor. Bonobo states that the corporate systems were not breached during the attack. Now, a couple of weekends ago, a threat actor known as Shiny Hunters, and you have heard their names here before, and it definitely won't be the last time until they're caught. They are notorious for hacking online services and selling stolen databases, posted the full Bonobo's database to a free hacker forum. Now, this leaked database contained a 70 gigabyte database file containing various internal tables used by Bonobo's website. The database also includes various data for, that's really interesting for threat actors, such as addresses, phone numbers, partial credit card numbers, meaning the last four digits, order information, and password histories. The amount of records depends on the category of data. So, for example, the address and phone numbers are for 7 million customer orders. Account information is basically for 1.8 million registered customers, and 3.5 million partial credit card records were there as well. So if you use Bonobo's clothing store, heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about a company or a website called Pixlr. This is P-I-X-L-R. Many of you actually use this. It's a very popular and free online photo editing application. So in other words, if you don't want to pay for Photoshop, you can go use Pixlr. And over 2 weekends ago, Shiny Hunters again shared a database on a free hacker forum for what they claim was stolen from Pixlr when they breached 123RF, which is a stock photo website. Pixlr and 123RF are both owned by the same company, Imagine. Now, the alleged Pixlr database posted by Shiny Hunters contains over 1.9 million user records consisting of email addresses, login names, hashed passwords, the user's country, and whether they signed up for the newsletter and other internal information. So obviously that's a huge problem. And if you've used Pixlr or 123RF, the stock photo site, heads up. Moving on, let's head over to the UK, because I found this actually to be a very, very interesting data breach. Now, a shipment of laptops that was supplied to British schools by the Department of Education in the UK, basically to help kids learn under the lockdown, actually came preloaded with malware. That's right. The affected laptops distributed to schools under the UK government's Get Help with Technology scheme, which started last year, came bundled with the Gamaroo malware, which is an old remote access worm from the 2010s. This software is pretty nasty, and it doesn't just spread from computer to computer. It also tries to connect to outside servers for instructions to carry out. We actually call that in cybersecurity C2, or command and control. That's the kind of traffic that allows it to basically get further instructions. Now, the UK publication, The Register, that did the reporting on this, basically said that a batch of 23,000 computers, specifically the GeoBook 1E running on Windows 10, which is made by the Tactus Group, they're out of Shenzhen, China, contain these units that were loaded with this malware. Now, a spokesperson for the Tactus Group did not comment, and these devices have shipped over the past month or so, though it is unclear how many of them are infected. One source at a school told the Register that the machines in question seem to have been manufactured in late 2019 and appear to basically have had the software installed in the last year or so. So it's very possible that they made these, basically these were manufactured, these were sent, and then the British school system essentially had a single image that they installed into 23,000 of these machines, a copy of Windows basically that's pre-configured, and maybe that came with the malware. We don't know, but that is kind of bonkers. Moving on, we are not done because we are talking about adult website MyFreeCams. A hacker is allegedly selling a database with login credentials for 2 million high-paying users of MyFreeCams. Again, it's an adult video streaming and chat service, and on January 14th, this hacker offered to sell the database containing usernames, plain text passwords, meaning if you're on this site, they've got your password, they can read it, as well as emails belonging to 2 million paying users. Now, the seller was offering 10,000 records for $1,500 US in Bitcoin, saying that the logins guaranteed a profit of at least $10,000 in tokens, which I think is probably the currency that MyFreeCams uses. So there you go. If you use MyFreeCams, everybody knows your password now. You better go change it. Moving on. Let's talk about Intel. We're talking about the massive manufacturing. They make the microprocessors that are probably in your computer. Shares of Intel fell as much as 9% at the end of the fourth quarter after the company said that its corporate website was hacked, pushing the chip maker to release its fourth quarter earnings earlier than planned. Now, George Davis, who is Intel's chief financial officer or CFO, told the Financial Times that an attacker had gained unauthorized access to sensitive data tied to its earnings report that it was set to be published after the market closed. But upon finding out that attack, basically Intel released the results 6 minutes before the close because they had no choice, which dropped their stock price 9%, which is absolutely crazy. So heads up, Intel's investors, obviously Intel, you would hope, would have better security. Moving on, let's talk about the Agency for Community Treatment Services out of Portland, Oregon. We are actually talking about what is believed to be the first HIPAA breach for 2021. HIPAA, obviously, is this data security and cybersecurity compliance for healthcare records here in the United States. And so they hold the distinct honor, I guess, honor, distinction, whatever you want to call that, for possibly being the first HIPAA disclosure, Agency for Community Treatment Services. And on October 23rd, they discovered ransomware on their system, obviously disclosing in 2021, and names, date of birth, social security, medical records, treatment information, and health insurance info was involved. So I don't want to say congratulations, but here we are. So if you use the Agency for Community Treatment Services out of Portland, and I do know I've got a radio station in that area, heads up to all of you. Moving on, let's talk about a dating site called Meet Mindful. Basically, a well-known attacker leaked this actually 2 weeks ago or so, the details of more than 2.28 million users registered on meetmindful.com. This is a website that it's obviously a dating website that was founded in 2014. Now, the leaked data appears to be a dump of the site's user database. And so we're talking real names, email addresses, city, state, and zip details, body details, dating preferences, marital status, birth dates, latitude and longitude, because obviously their app was probably hitting the GPS and pulling all of that, IP addresses of the device or computer that you're obviously connecting to, hashed account passwords, Facebook user IDs, and Facebook authentication tokens. So basically, if you logged into Meet Mindful with your Facebook, you were using that as what's called an SSO or single sign-on, and so they got you hit. So heads up, Meet Mindful daters. Moving on, let's head on home to my neck of the woods, to Cook County, Illinois. This is home to Chicago and surrounding suburbs, and is the second largest county in the United States, just behind Los Angeles. Now, a non-password protected database belonging to Cook County in Illinois exposed 323,000 court records for at least 4 months, according to cybersecurity researchers. Now, the database exposed the names of various people involved in sensitive criminal, domestic abuse, and child custody court cases. So in other words, if you have speeding or parking tickets in Cook County, and Lord knows I have over the years, it would not be part of this, because we're talking about criminal, domestic abuse, and child custody. Obviously, very sensitive situations. Now, the researchers discovered this database on September 26th and notified the chief technology officer of Cook County about this exposure. However, the database remained publicly exposed until January of 2021, when it was then secured and restricted. So, heads up, if you live in Cook County, Illinois, and I have more than one station that broadcasts into that area, heads up to you. Please make sure that you are checking in if you are involved in a criminal, domestic abuse, or child custody court case. The last thing we want is that information getting out. Moving on, let's talk about U.S. Cellular. They're one of the major carriers here in the United States. They suffered a data breach after attackers gained access to their CRM, that's a customer relation management, and viewed customer accounts. Here's what happened, and I thought this was absolutely interesting, because it's not what you would expect, kind of. In a data breach notification filed with the Vermont Attorney General's office — Vermont has very strict disclosures — U.S. Cellular states that one of their retail store's employees was actually scammed into downloading software onto the computer at the retail store. Now, this software allowed an attacker to access the computer remotely, and as the employee was logged into the customer relation management system, they gained access to it as well. So we're talking about names, addresses, PIN codes — so if you ever call in for support, they've got your PIN code, cell numbers, as well as information about your wireless services, including your service plan, usage, billing statements, and other things, and another thing known as the Customer Proprietary Network Information, or CPNI. This is internal to U.S. Cellular. This data breach notification, again, sitting in Vermont, but obviously is nationwide. Now, U.S. Cellular states that customers' social security numbers and credit card information were not accessible, as they are masked in the CRM. And so hopefully the attackers were not able to copy out the CRM and only see one or two people, but it really stinks to be those one or two people. So hopefully U.S. Cellular will lock it down. Moving on, let's talk about Mensa. If you don't know who they are, they're the high IQ folks. And we're going to be talking about Mensa in the UK, because the quote-unquote British Mensa failed to properly secure the passwords on their website, prompting a hack on its website that resulted in the theft of members' personal data. Now, Eugene Hopkinson, a former director and technology officer at British Mensa, stood down this week, claiming that the organization had failed to secure its data, or data of its 18,000 members, according to a report in the Financial Times. Hopkinson claimed that the stored passwords of Mensa members were not hashed. If they were not hashed, that means they could have been read or easily cracked. That's obviously a huge problem, and it doesn't take a high IQ to know you've got to lock down your website. So there you go. Mensa, get it together. Moving on, let's talk about VIPgames.com. Now, tens of thousands of users have had their personal details exposed after VIPgames.com misconfigured essentially their Elasticsearch server. This is where their data was sitting. So a research team found the wide open server with zero encryption, no password protection, and they found it through a simple search. this was obviously traced back, this database was traced back to VIP Games. And again, they do card and board games, and they have 100,000 Google Play downloads and roughly 20,000 active daily players all around the world. Now, this data was leaked basically due to this privacy issue, and that included 23 million records. Essentially, in these records, the researchers picked out 66,000 user profiles, including usernames, email, device details, IP addresses, hashed passwords, Facebook, Twitter, and Google IDs, in-game transaction details, bets, and details regarding banned players. Yes, if you were banned from VIP Games, you were still caught up in this. And so if you use VIP Games, heads up to you. And finally, and we've got two big stories, I want to give you guys an update on the SolarWinds data breach. It is, I think, the worst data breach that we have seen in history, and it was an intelligence operation. All signs point to APT-29 or Advanced Persistent Threat Number 29. They're known as Fancy Bear or Cozy Bear. They're a Russian cutout. They have actually been targeting cybersecurity vendors and companies, those that we pay to basically defend businesses. And so we have had a new slew since the last time I talked to you that have basically declared. And we are talking about Malwarebytes. Many of you might use their antivirus. Mimecast, which is an Office 365 spam filter, third-party spam filter protection. Palo Alto Networks, which is a firewall maker, and they make other things as well, but they are considered one of the best in the business. And Qualys, which is vulnerability scanning and analysis, as well as Fidelis, also on that side as well. So basically, these five vendors have added their names to the list of companies that installed Trojanized versions of the SolarWinds Orion app. Now, the first one I'm going to talk about is Malwarebytes, because they actually became the fourth firm of all of them to disclose. Prior to FireEye, CrowdStrike, and Microsoft saying that they were targeted, Malwarebytes came next, and I'm going to go in order of release here. Now, Malwarebytes said that the intrusion was not actually related to the SolarWinds supply chain incident, since they don't use SolarWinds software on their internal network, but they said that the attackers breached their internal systems by exploiting a dormant email protection product within Microsoft Office 365. They basically have a tendency there, and there you go. They said they learned that from Microsoft via the Security Response Center of Microsoft on December 15th, which basically detected the suspicious activity, and here we go. So obviously that's a huge problem. According to their CEO, I quote, "Our internal systems show no evidence of unauthorized access or compromise in any on-premise and production environments. Our software remains safe to use." Basically, they're saying if you have Malwarebytes on your computer, you don't need to delete it. So take that for what it's worth. Next up is Mimecast, because about 2 weeks ago or so, they disclosed a major security breach during which attackers broke into their network and used digital certificates, essentially used by security products, to access, once again, their Microsoft Office 365 accounts. And so obviously that's a huge problem. Now, what's interesting is they then updated that to say that they had linked the incident to the Trojanized SolarWinds Orion application that was installed on their network. So the company then confirmed that the SolarWinds attackers were the ones that abused this. And I find this interesting because I actually, not on this radio show, I was on a live show as a guest basically on Saturday, like January 30th or whatever that was, out of Seattle, where I talked about this. And at the time, we didn't know that they were using the Orion application. They had not said that. They had only pointed to Microsoft Office 365 and then later came out and said that. So if you listen to me then, and you're listening to me here on this radio show, my radio show, please know we have updated information. And obviously after that show, I let the hosts of that radio show, Tech Time Radio, I let them obviously know about that as well. Moving on, I'm going to talk about Qualys. This is the vulnerability scanning company. They do a lot of things for certifications. And in a statement to Forbes, Qualys said that the intrusion was not as big as it appears, claiming that their engineers had installed a Trojanized version of Orion inside a lab environment for testing purposes, which is separate from their primary network. A subsequent investigation, according to them, did not find any evidence of further malicious activity. But cybersecurity researchers are really not buying what Qualys is saying, because one of essentially their websites or domains that was hit was corp.qualys.com. And that basically shows that they might have hit the primary network and not a laboratory environment. And so Qualys, we may see, is going to get worse. We're not sure, but we're watching it. Next up is Palo Alto Networks. Now, in a blog post, they said that they detected two security incidents, one in September and another in October of 2020, that are now linked to SolarWinds software installations. To quote, "Our security operations center immediately isolated the server, initiated an investigation, and verified our infrastructure was secure." However, the company said that at the time it investigated those two breaches as separate incidents, and they didn't detect a broader supply chain attack. And so they did not really realize at the time that this was part of SolarWinds. Nobody did. And so they are saying the attack was unsuccessful and no data was compromised. And so far, nobody is disputing that. Palo Alto tends to be really on it. And finally, let's talk about Fidelis. They are the fifth one I'm talking about today, and I believe the eighth or ninth to disclose, because they said that they too installed the version of SolarWinds application in May of 2020. If you recall, SolarWinds came out in March of last year, and they said, and I quote, "The software installation was traced to a machine configured as a test system isolated from our core network and infrequently powered on." Now, Fidelis said that despite efforts from the attacker to escalate access into the internal network, Fidelis believes that the test system was, quote, "sufficiently isolated and powered up to infrequently or powered up too infrequently for the attacker to take it to the next stage of the attack." Now, this week's disclosures, the ones I'm telling you about here, basically, now we have 8 cybersecurity vendors targeted by the SolarWinds attackers. Again, we believe it's the Russian cutout group Cozy Bear. And so that's obviously a huge, huge problem. I will keep you up to date on this as it evolves, but this is one of the worst breaches. It's probably the worst breach in history. And so you guys will be, if you're listening to me for years, I'll probably be bringing up the fallout from this from quite some time in the news segments. It's absolutely crazy.
And stay tuned to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show as we take a quick break for a public service announcement. We'll be back right after that.